How'd you make out about the car, Ralph?
Oh, I got the car. Freddie Muller said I could have it. Answer that.
Hi, Alice.
Hello.
Hi, Ralph. Oh, hiya, Joe. You know Joe Muncie. He's sure. A member of the Raccoon Club.
Hi, Ralph.
Oh.
This ain't on here, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Tomorrow's a big day, huh?
Yeah, Fred, and you're just the guy I want to see.
Get the doctor on the phone.
Yeah, he said it. There's no complications. It sounds to him like it's a simple wrench back. Yeah. Now, if Ralph sleeps on a heating pad all night, it could be gone in the morning. But if it doesn't go away, he wants you to come and see him in the morning.
Testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You on the air?
The Honeymooners Podcast. The only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time. With the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and raccoonettes. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you Freddie Mullers of the world? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal, Louis Fats.
Fofodiodo.
The only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the Non-Productive Studios, Clifton, New Jersey. And if you want, you can subscribe wherever you subscribe to your podcast. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. And you can listen to the show, if you don't do the podcast thing, in the non-productive website. That's non-productive.com/honeymooners. And don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. All right. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing good, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of my favorite topics coming up.
This is one of your favorite things to do, I'm realizing.
Oh, yeah. It's my life right now.
He's always...
This and going to the shop, right? But I think this takes preference.
I would hope so. I would hope this at least squeaks out like maybe one over going to ShopRite.
Yeah. Unless there's a big week of super coupons. You know, but, you know.
Hey, cutting coupons over here. Yes.
Brajol's on sale this week.
I know. Two Italians from Jersey talking about what kind of cold cuts we're going to get. Yes. So we, for this is what, episode?
10, 11?
No, 10,
11.
This is 12.
No way.
Yes.
Okay.
We are at episode 12, A Baker's Dozen.
Oh, man.
All right? And in this episode, we wanted to do one of your favorite, first of all, one of your favorite things you've been saying we want to do, and for one of your favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
Secondary character. You said it every episode. Like, oh, I can't wait till we do secondary characters.
Every week. Since week one, I've been saying, Joe, we got to do secondary characters. And we finally got to it.
And you know what? And I think there might be some people going, you know what? They're hardly talking about any of, like, the lines from, like, you know, the three main characters. Because we did the thing about Joyce Randolph and Trixie and all that. But we're going to... We have different ways we're going to get into that.
Oh, you know, we have a lot of ways to go.
Yeah, we're going to do like our top favorite fat jokes.
Oh,
our top,
you know, everything.
Yeah, but our first secondary character that we wanted to do is George Petrie, as Louis calls him for everything,
Freddie Muller.
Freddie Muller. No matter what, you can look at his IMDb. Look at George Petrie's IMDb, and Louis would just be like, oh, look, Freddie Muller was in Quincy. It's like the guy's name was George Petrie, but it's just Freddie Muller.
He's Freddie Muller to me.
He's Freddie Muller, yeah.
Yeah.
He was just, he was great. He was in 14 episodes, and he played Freddie Muller. He also played Joe Rumsey or Munsey,
whatever you want to call it.
And then he played some big scenes.
Yeah.
He was, first of all, the voiceover, right? He did voiceover.
Yes, he did. He did the voiceover for Captain Video.
Yes.
And he also did...
Go to the moon and Pluto.
Pluto and the moon.
Pluto.
And the moon.
Go to Pluto and then backtrack.
Come back
to the moon, yeah.
The farthest planet. The closest moon. Yes.
He did that. He also was, Herb for the $99,000.
The $99,000, yeah. He was the announcer for that.
Yep.
You know.
And then... He got into, and sporadically in different episodes, like, oh, my aching back.
Yes.
He was one of the guys that were bowling, and I think he was Freddie.
He was probably, I think he was Fred in that one, too.
He was Freddie Muller in almost everything.
Yeah. For the most part, he was Freddie Muller.
When he was just the guy in the, when he was the bus driver.
The bus driver, yeah. Just like, you know, playing.
He was Freddie. I mean, the one time they had him as Joe Rumsey.
Yeah, Joe Rumsey. That didn't make any sense, but we covered that a couple weeks back.
Yeah, yeah. We figured out
that. And we still can't figure out why.
But before we get into this, we got to do our trivia question.
Oh, yeah.
So we got our trivia question.
Oh, you know, we didn't ever answer the question a couple of weeks ago when you asked the question.
What was it? What was my question?
The two episodes, the only two episodes that overlapped.
That actually, like, they weren't. They
weren't standalone. They made a reference to a previous episode.
Right.
And that was The Sleepwalker.
The Sleepwalker, yes.
He mentions it. The actual Sleepwalker episode, and then he mentioned it again in Oh My Aching Back.
Yes.
As an excuse to get Ralph to go upstairs and stay with Norton so he can sleep on the heating pad.
Right.
Because so he conveniently Trixie's gone.
Right, yes. For a day. She had a suitcase. She's going to be gone for 8 hours.
Yeah, like 8 hours. So we're sister's house. Yeah. I mean, I never could figure that one out either.
Yeah, and Alice never tells her that, you know, he ended up sleepwalking when she was away. But, you know, everything was fine.
Everything makes a full circle. Everything's
yes.
You know, ready for the next episode next week.
But, so that was the answer from a couple weeks ago.
Let me see. What can we do? Nice trivia. Let's see here. There's so many questions, and I can't even think of one. I have 700 in my book.
Well, we don't have to do it in the beginning.
We'll do it later. Yeah,
we could just do the question and then just give him the answer.
Yeah, we'll give the answer.
Okay. All right. George Petrie, who he played also, not only did he play Freddie Muller, but he played some big scenes. He played Dick Gersh, which was the editor of, what was the magazine?
American Weekly.
American Weekly.
Which was based on the Saturday Evening Post.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then he was Danny the Hoodlum.
Danny the Hoodlum.
In Trapped.
Trapped, yep.
And he also played the psychologist.
The psychiatrist,
right.
All the way from Vienna, Austria.
Vienna.
To work for the Department of Sanitation.
Vienna.
Psychiatrist.
Unbelievable.
With the great Viennese accent.
Yeah,
the beard, you know,
know.
The beard, the goatee, and the white hair.
Beard.
Actually, people actually laugh when he walks on stage.
Yeah,
you hear a little laugh. Just
like
by
a
his,
chuckle.
Yeah, chuckle, like, because he just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just so stupid.
You know, the dumb white wig and the beard.
Yeah, yeah. So, so we wanted to play a little bit of some of the our favorite moments of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And first we have to do him in as Freddie Muller.
Oh, God, yeah, because that's
in a scene that you really like in an episode that you're not hugely, you still like it, you're just not as hugely fond
I
of.
Like the beginning of the episode. It's
the golfer.
The golfer. The part I don't like about it is when they actually start golfing in the room, when Norton's teaching him to go. I just, for some reason, don't.
Yeah, it's not.
It's nothing,
it's,
you know.
It's still great, but it's not,
great.
You know.
You get
not
the hello ball to me, which is like Bang Zoom, and people love that. I don't.
Right,
like,
right.
To me, I don't know. I don't know. Never.
But we have the scene where it's Ralph, Ed, and then three other drivers, Saxon and
who was Pete in that one?
Pete, I think it was.
Yeah, his name's Pete.
And Ralph is telling everybody that he's become the new
assistant traffic
manager. And then Freddie Muller comes in and squashes the whole thing.
Norton, guess what? I'm the new assistant traffic manager.
Put it there, Ralphie boy, pal of mine. I knew you had it in your butt.
Thank you very much, Norton.
All right. Come on now. Come on. Who started it?
Who started what?
The rumor. The rumor that Crandon's going to be the new assistant traffic manager.
Well, don't look at me. I got it from Cassidy.
So you started it, huh?
I did not. I got it from Riley here.
All right, Riley. What's the idea?
I didn't start it, Freddie.
Well, who did? Who told you Crandon's going to be the new assistant traffic manager?
Crandon did.
Great delivery right there.
So great.
It's amazing.
So that's it, huh?
One of my favorite lines.
Blow your own horn again, huh, Ralph? Now look, Ralph, get this and get it straight. Mr. Harper's going to pick his own assistant, and he hasn't made up his mind yet who it's going to be. And what's more, I doubt very much that it's going to be you, because Mr. Harper doesn't even know that you're alive. Come on, fellas.
I got to tell you, Freddie Muller, not that nice of a guy in this episode.
No, not this one. No,
bit of a jerk.
Yeah, really.
But then he came around at the end because he said, you know, hey, listen.
Yeah, I was wrong. He actually knew I was wrong.
Yeah, and he seemed
to stand in good with Mr. Harper.
And he seemed genuinely happy for him, where this time he seemed genuinely like, you know, listen, I don't. It almost seemed like he did want Ralph to get the job.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was Freddie Muller being a little bit of a jerk. Yeah, not the best. Not seen in the best light, of course. No. But still, Freddie Muller,
likable Freddie Muller.
Yes, the old likable Freddie Muller. Oh, and George Petrie. Interesting thing about George Petrie, besides the fact that he was in 52 episodes of Dallas.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I mean, never watched it, but...
I was a kid when Dallas was on, but I remember the whole thing where... Yeah. I actually remember getting a haircut and seeing the newspaper, and the cover was Who Shot J.R.?
Yeah, that was
I remember that. That was like...
I think I watched that.
It was in the newspaper.
Yeah. I actually watched that. I never watched the one episode.
Yeah. I mean, what do you call it? Nighttime soaps?
Yeah, it was like a nighttime soap.
Yeah.
That's probably why I never watched it.
But he was in 52 episodes of that, which I didn't know.
That's a lot.
And he was also in, he was one of a few people that was in both Twilight Zones from the original 1959, and he was also in an episode from 1985.
Right, when they came back, yeah.
But he was born November 16th, 1912, and he died November 16th, 1997. He died on his 85th birthday.
Probably blowing out the candles. Maybe. just keeled over.
I mean, it's 85 candles for Pete's sake. That's a lot of candles right there. All right, another great episode that he was in, where he plays a very substantial part, is in The Sleepwalker.
Yes.
And he plays the psychiatrist. And now we're going to see it, because we're going to hear it.
You're going to probably hear the laugh of him walking when people... Yes. It's a chuckle, not a huge laugh, right, but a little chuckle.
Like, they're probably like, what the hell's he doing?
What the hell is that?
Right. So he's coming in now.
No, Freddie Muller was a psychiatrist.
He was a bus driver. Hey, Freddie Muller, that's a nice costume you got there. Who are you, man from space? Psychiatrist from space. All right, well... And here he is as the psychiatrist to help Ed try to figure out why he's sleepwalking.
How are you? How do you do?
Very great to get back.
Thank you very much.
Right in here.
Yes, thank you.
Doc?
There's a little chuckle out there.
He almost killed himself last night.
Well, I will do what I can, Mr. Clapton, but as I told Mr. Norton, he really belongs in a hospital where I can keep him under observation and test him under the proper conditions.
Yeah, but he can't afford to go to a hospital. You gotta do something from here.
Well, we will see. We will see, eh? Somnambulism, Mr. Clapton, has its roots in a psychosis, in most cases induced by a trauma. Now, the obvious therapy is the removal of the mental block from a patient's subconscious mind. You follow me?
Not exactly, but I know when you said mental block, it had something to do with Norton.
Great line.
That is it's such a great line.
That's a great line.
And it's great because Crampton just has a completely bewildered look on his face.
Yeah.
He has no idea what he's saying. But he hears mental block,
and that's got something to do with Norton.
And it is great because it's almost like an Austrian...
It's the Viennese, which is like, you know, Vienna, Austria. Like,
and
the,
I guess,
the,
what is it? They're using that because of, like, Freud?
Well, because that, yeah, that, yeah, exactly. That's where all that so that came, you know, about.
Right, you know, right, the, yeah.
That psychology and psychiatry stemmed in Vienna.
And they
Vienna.
All got that, that so wackiness and the wacky beard and the
glasses. It's like some very, like, this romanticizing
very stereotypical.
Yeah, stereotypical of, you know... Typical psychiatrist.
Here we go.
Now, I am inclined to believe that when Mr. Norton walks in his sleep, he is searching for something. Something in the distant past. Something perhaps he does not remember himself. But do not worry. I will do my best to help him, eh?
Oh. Well, what are you going to do?
I am going to administer pentothal. Perhaps you have heard of it. It is sometimes called... The truth serum.
Truth serum.
Now, when Mr. Norton is asleep, the mental block to his subconscious mind will be cleared. And perhaps then we can find out what it is he is searching for.
Oh, I get it, Doc. You find out what he's searching for, Then after you find that out, you get him what he's been searching for, and then he doesn't sleepwalk anymore.
Exactly. Excuse me, Mr. Penn.
Boy, medicine is remarkable.
Now,
I love that little
Mr.
subtle.
Mr. Norton, I'm going to give you this injection. It will not hurt, so just relax, eh?
I don't want to inject you in the
door. You know what's great? I just noticed it now. He turns around and looks at Ralph like, are you kidding me? It's really great. It's really great. Next time you're watching it, just watch his face when he turns around and looks at Ralph like, is this what I got to deal with?
There's a great line prior to all this is when Norton says, why'd you call the doctor? Only kind of a bump on my head. I didn't call him on a kind of the bump on your head. I'm calling him on a kind of the bump in your head.
Yes.
Great
and,
line.
And that's how I described our one episode. That's because we can't do the thing with the trivia right. Not because of the bump on our head, but it's a bump in our heads, yes.
Stop being a baby. Let them give you the injection. They give it to little kids and nothing happens to them.
I love the way Ralph looks at it.
And I love how when he tells him, he fainted.
Yeah.
Because he almost loses his accent.
Yeah.
Just kind of say, he's stupid. Right. You fainted.
You fainted.
Are you all right?
All right.
You fainted.
Left to the rear.
All right. Steady now, Mr. Fenton.
Steady now.
What happened?
You fainted.
Yeah, it's the Freddie Muller right there.
Excuse me. he stepped back into Freddie Muller.
Backwards from 100.
100. 99, 98, 97, 96, 3.
Quite a strong stuff you're
using there.
Strong
stuff. What'd he say?
I do not know, but he is now under completely.
2-3 months.
Mr. Norton, something is troubling you. What is it? Did something hurt you? Did you suffer some grave disappointment?
Grave disappointment.
When did that happen?
When I was 21 years old. I wanted to go to college.
And what happened?
They wouldn't let me. They said I had to finish grammar school first.
Great line.
Well, you're wasting your time, Doc. That mental block's made out of cement.
Lulu. Tell us about Lulu, Mr. Norton. Was she a childhood sweetheart?
A childhood sweetheart.
Yes.
Lulu.
Well, what happened to Mr. Norton? What happened with Lulu?
I lost her at Coney Island.
How did you lose her?
We was going through the tunnel of love, and she jumped out of the boat and went after a cocker spaniel. Lulu was the best dog I ever had.
A dog? A dog, that's it.
And you got to figure.
That's what he's searching for, the like, doggy dog.
He's in between Gleason and Carney.
Right, a dog, and that's the end of his sleepwalking.
No, we must not jump to conclusions.
And he was still great.
Mr.
Yeah, he's holding his own right here.
Yeah, actually is.
Part of the dilemma. In order to find out, in order to be certain what his trouble is, I will have to run further tests.
Well, how long is that going to take?
Oh, 2-3 months.
2 or 3 months? I can't last that long. Look, I know Norton. If he does anything, he does it for a dumb reason. And he's sleepwalking for a dumb reason. Now, all we have to do is get him the dog, and that'll settle the whole thing.
But, Mr. Kyman, we do not have sufficient proof.
Proof. There you go. That's perfect. That's enough proof.
That is enough proof for me. I'm getting him a dog. Get yourself in the...
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Like, throws him out.
Throws
a doctor out.
Yeah, doctor out.
This psychiatrist from Vienna.
From Vienna,
who
right.
works for the Department of Sanitation in New York.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
He works for
and makes house calls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 4 in the morning.
Yeah, did that back then.
Yeah, so that was another one of his great great scenes. Mm-hmm. This one here is from A Matter of Life and Death. This one is where Ralph thinks he's dying.
Yes.
And he goes to sell his story to the National...
American Weekly.
American Weekly. And he plays Dick Gersh.
Richard Gersh, publisher.
I don't think I'll play the whole scene, but I'll definitely,
It's a long one. It's actually kind of long. He got a lot of stage time in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. That was a good amount of clips, too. Yeah. So here we go.
Well, all right, we haven't got much time. What's your story?
This may come as a terrible shock to you, gentlemen, but you're looking at a man that has only 6 months to live.
All right, but what's your story?
That's it. I'm gonna die in 6 months. You could put the story in your magazine. Be a riot. Be better than the one you got in there now about I was a mambo dancer for the FBI. Believe me.
Look, I'm sorry for your trouble, but we can't use it.
But you gotta use it. I don't want the money for myself. I want to give it to my wife. I'm gonna die in 6 months and I got nothing to leave her.
I told you, I'm sorry, we can't use it.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. This may be just what we're looking for.
He's got to get up, take his glasses off.
What do you mean? The hard angle. Doomed man finds out he's only got 6 months to live. Not concerned about himself, thinks only of his wife. We're playing up big. Run the story every week for 6 months. Everybody will be waiting for him to drop dead. Like, this is a natural. Look at the pictures we could run. Look at that face. It's pitiful. I tell you, we can make this guy a national hero. He'll be another Davy Crockett.
Second reference.
Are you sure you only have 6 months to live?
Oh, yes, sir. Honest.
You know, if you were just making this up to collect some money, that would be a pretty serious offense. And if we printed this story, and you didn't die in 6 months, we could be laughed out of the business. You know what we'd do then? We'd have you thrown in jail for 20 years for fraud.
I wouldn't lie to you about anything like this, not about dying. Here, I got the proof of it. Here's the doctor's report.
Hey, Dick, there's a great angle there. When his tongue starts turning blue, we'll do a color spread on him.
Charlie, call the shop. Tell them to get set up. We've got a new lead story for the next issue.
So cruel what he says here.
Well, we're going to do your story, Mr. Cramden.
Thank you.
Right up to the minute you drop dead.
Terrible.
Oh, here's terrible. I could put my trivia question right in here. Okay. What was the name of the veterinarian that gave him the letter for Ginger?
For the dog, Ginger. You know the veterinarian.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of it. All right, there you go.
Think about it.
There's your question. For the
ponder that.
Yeah.
Until we go through the life of Freddie Muller. Life and times of
Freddie Muller. That's right. That might be the good name of the episode. Yeah, the life and times of Freddie Muller. And now this last one, which it's not one of, you know, I mean, he did 14 episodes, but this one is when he plays Danny. They
call him Danny the Hoodlum.
The Hoodlum.
That's yeah, he's right. The gangster.
From the 50s. Yeah. And it's him and Bibbo.
Yeah.
And it's the episode Trapped, of course. And you actually noticed that he has a flub.
A little flub in there.
A little flub in there, right?
Oh, yeah. I love my flub.
Yeah, you do. We got a little hammered from one of our listeners about the one episode about the flubs that we did so far. Because they weren't really flubs. They were just little timing
gaps,
things.
Gaps. You're like gaps in there. We got hammered.
Yeah, like,
somebody hammered.
You call those flubs? Well, this is just the start of them. Yeah. I mean, we're going to do a thing. I think when we have like a shorter episode.
Yeah, we're going to throw in some flubs.
Do a flub here and there. Absolutely.
Do a flub of the week.
Yeah, like a flub of the week. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this is where Danny and Bibbo come in the house. Because Ralph seen them robbing a bank.
That's him. That's the guy.
Stay in there, Alice. Don't come out. Don't get in this.
Come on, Danny. Let's grab him and blow, huh?
You're crazy. A minute after we left the dame, we'd spread the alarm. Come on, get out of the way.
Oh, wait a minute now, Pat. Wait a second. She doesn't know anything.
He's got the great scar in his face, too.
Yeah, it's scarred.
Look, I won't tell anybody.
It's like take a pen to his face.
Shut up! Bibbo, you go and see if it's clear. Find out if everything's all set.
Now, I don't want a word out of either of you two.
Hey, you hear something?
Marty's
going
away.
Come on, look at the car. Hey, there's something wrong. Hey, Danny. It's
cops.
Hey, a patrol car just pulled up.
Did you talk to the cops?
Oh, yeah.
The truth.
Hey, wait a minute. One of those cars is coming up this way now. Hey, look, we got to blow this joint. The roof. We can beat it across the roof, huh?
Now, wait a minute, Marty. Just get a hold of yourself. They found out about this guy down in the pool room. Those cops don't know nothing. They're coming here for information.
You ain't giving it to them, mister. If they come in here, you know nothing. You don't say one single word, or else she gets it. Okay, Dibble, take her inside.
Dibbo?
Dibble.
Remember what I said. One
but
word.
Then it sounds like they said Bibbo.
I used to think it was Bibbo. It's Dibble.
Dibble. Yeah. Oh, okay. He seems to know a lot about the law. He knew that they were just coming for information.
Crampton, I don't know anything.
Crampton.
This guy's great. This guy's great.
Department, Crampton. I don't know nothing.
Thanks
look,
for
you're
nothing.
You're in a bad spot, you know that? I'm going to tell you just what I told your pal down at the pool room. Your safety and your life is in danger if you don't give us a description.
I didn't see anything.
These fellas are killers. They shot the night watchman.
I don't know anything.
You don't know anything, huh? All right, I'm going to give you a break. I'm leaving a policeman downstairs to look after you overnight. But if you don't tell us what you know by morning, you're on your own. If you're not a witness, you're not entitled to police protection. And thanks for nothing.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. I didn't tell him anything. Alice,
he's gone.
Sure, he's gone. But what about the other copper that's waiting downstairs? What about him, huh?
Nothing. He'll be gone in the morning.
But we can't stay here all night.
Why not? We got the police protecting us.
Please, go away. We won't say anything.
Look, I just proved to you I wasn't going to say
anything.
Shut up!
Look, Danny, what about Marty in the car?
Don't worry about Marty. He was smart enough to duck when the cops showed. He'll come back when they're gone.
I don't like this. I don't like the idea of staying here all night.
I didn't ask you what you liked.
Please, will you go away?
All right! Stick him up! Get him up! Who is it?
Hey, Tommy, have you got my water pistol in there?
The kid's great.
Yeah, it's Johnny Benson, right? Not Johnny Benson.
No, it's actually, I think it's Tommy Monacotti.
But he was also...
Johnny Bennett.
Johnny Bennett.
Tommy Bennett, yeah. Johnny Bennett. Same actor, played both kids.
Yeah. He played three kids, I think.
Hey, yeah, Tommy.
Very welcome.
That's great.
Hey, look, Danny, let me give him a waking over, huh?
No.
Another stupid move like that, Crampton, you'll get the worst foot beating anybody ever got in their
there
life.
There it is.
There's the flowers.
Please tell him that you'll do anything.
Now, look, you two are sitting down. You're not making a sound or a move from here in. If you try anything, I ain't stopping Bibbo. Now sit. Answer that. Who is it?
It's me, Ralph Norton. What do you got the door locked for?
My friend from upstairs. You'll get rid of him the same way you did the copper.
The copper.
Coming on.
There, Ralphie boy. Mm-hmm. My word, you got the door locked, you're pale, and you're shaking. Those bums are 1,000 miles away from here.
Why don't you go home now?
What do you mean, why don't I go home? Those guys ain't got any courage. They're not going to stick around here. They'll run like rats.
Go ahead out now.
Huh?
I say get out.
Get out. Yeah.
What's the matter, Ralph? You got a twitch?
Get out.
You act like a guy that's got his gun in his back.
Will you get out of here?
Look, I come down here in good faith to fix the pipes, and that's just what I'm going to do.
We don't want any pipes fixed now. You can come on down tomorrow and fix all the pipes.
All
the pipes.
In the bedroom.
Pipes out here.
Tomorrow.
The pipes that need fixing inside the
tomorrow.
Bedroom.
Tomorrow.
I'll take a look-see.
No, you can't go in there now. Alice is in there. She's getting dressed. You can come down and fix those two pipes tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh. Well, okay. Like you say, if there's a better time, I'll come down and fix the pipes tomorrow.
Bye. So long, Norton.
Bye, Ralph.
Hey, pal.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. Hi. Get rid of him.
Okay, now lock the door.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Oh. I was just thinking. There's only one pipe there that needs fixing.
It's great.
It's great.
Yeah, you know, and George Petri did such a wonderful
job. Great job. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The great George Petri was, I remember the first time I saw him, it was like late 80s or 1990. There was a show on CBS called Wise Guy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't last too long, but it was a critically acclaimed show. And I remember just watching. It was on CBS.
Right.
And all of a sudden I go, that's the guy. Because I was just really starting to get into the Honeymooners.
Yeah, you just recognized him, yeah.
And I didn't say Freddie Muller like you would have yelled. Hey, Freddie Muller, how you doing, hey? But, yes, the great George Petri, one of the besides the main characters.
Yeah, he appeared in most episodes outside of the main four.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The main four.
14.
George Petri. The great actor was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
Did
a lot of television.
Tons of television.
Tons of television.
Yeah. Quincy. Yeah. I mean, he was on One Day at a Time.
Yeah.
He did all these different. I was looking at him. I was looking at all the things that he did, and he was great. So this episode is basically all about George Petri, Freddie Muller.
Freddie Muller.
The great Freddie Muller. The great one.
The great one, two.
Yeah, the great one, part two or three or maybe seven, depending on, we're going to include R. Carney in that. So now, why don't we give them the answer for the trivia?
Okay, the answer for the trivia, you were contemplating this over that as...
the doctor...
Oh, yeah, you want to give it a shot? The veterinarian.
As soon as you say it.
Dr. Morton.
Dr. Morton. Oh.
I'm surprised when he gave him the letter, it doesn't say Dr. Morton, veterinarian, on his on his letterhead.
Well, he does, when he was talking about his doctor, you notice he goes, what's his name?
Yeah, what's his name? That's a setup that he didn't know his name.
But
I'm saying
name.
On the letterhead, when he hands him the letter, it doesn't say Dr. Morton,
veterinarian.
Just Dr. Morton.
Yeah, just a random specimen that they checked out. And, of course, they don't say that it's a dog. So, but yep, that is our episode, episode number 12. We thank you. Thank everybody, the Facebook groups, the Honeymooners, Raccoon Lodge, and the Honeymooners, the Classic 39 episode. Our pal, Edward Lillywhite Norton, his Honeymooners Trivia podcast. Give that a listen. He's revamping this whole thing. It's not just trivia. He's doing Raccoons of the Month. He's really, really getting into it. And my show is the Conti and Kenny Show, where I do on More Like Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. And if you want to find out anything about me on Facebook, I'm just Joe Conti Comedian on Twitter and Instagram. And Louis, what's your new new Instagram account?
Oh, I don't have one.
Yeah, you don't have one. Of course
folded.
You don't.
It folded.
It folded,
yeah.
Huh?
They told me I was too late.
It wasn't a... Instagram's not...
No, it was actually MySpace I was trying to get
on. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they said, sorry.
It you're, folded.
You're sorry, too late.
Like it was a network, like it was a Ponzi scheme.
Anyway, but do we have the email?
Yes.
And people can email.
Yes.
We're going to use this email probably for our show. So if you want to say something to Joe on the email...
Yes.
You could say it's bangzoom1956@gmail.com.
Yes.
So just use that as we're going to use that as our regular email.
Yes, absolutely.
Easy to remember.
Yep.
You know, Bang Zoom and 1956, the year the show was on. Yep. Also the year I was born.
At Gmail.
At Gmail. So if you want anything, me and Joe, that if you don't do it through the social media with Joe.
If you're one of those dinosaurs
like Lou,
doesn't have social media.
Yeah.
And you want to contact us, to whatever you want to complain or say.
Yeah.
Something
you want to hear.
Yeah. And maybe if you're a huge fan and you in the area, maybe we could set up where you can come in as a guest.
Yeah. And also want to say one more thing about George Petri.
Okay.
He played Eddie Haskell's father in Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver.
Now, to me, Eddie Haskell is one of the greatest TV characters of all time.
Really?
He ranks up there with Mr. Bacigalup. I'm telling you.
Well, he was kind of a villainous kid, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he was great.
He
played that that dual personality. Like he was like a real pain kid. But then when he was around Mrs. Cleaver, he was like, "Oh, hello, Mrs. Cleaver.
Yes.
You look lovely today."
Right, right.
One of those guys.
Then
she left, it'd be like, "Okay, runt or squirt." No, you called squirt.
Called him squirt.
You called him squirt. Called Beaver squirt.
All right.
Great character.
Thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen. Tell your friends about the show. Share the show on your social media. Or if you're hanging out at a party like Lou, who can't share anything anywhere.
No.
Tell people. It's the Honeymooners Podcast with Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you so much, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
Yeah. How about tomorrow night?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.